I'm your host, Samaita Graver, and I want to welcome you to Truth, Salt, and Spice, the podcast, where you will find conversations steeped in biblical truths, sprinkled with salt, and a dash of spice thrown in, you know, for good measure.
Hey, lady, can you hear me?
I can. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I know. I'm so sorry. I'm horrible.
Girl, this is a guilt-free zone. I don't do that.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah, tell me something.
I'm so grateful. All my parents is good.
You're so grateful. What's good?
All my parents. Both.
Oh, good, good.
Stay good. Amen. My dad got his shot. My mom got her shot. They're so happy. And everybody's no more surgeries. Everybody's good. But we've been stuck in the house for 3 days. This is the third day. We're iced in, snowed in, everything. But it's all good. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, sometimes being stuck and not doing anything is actually really good for the soul.
Well, I wish I could say doing nothing. I just said we are stuck in.
Well, not
look,
having
I'm doing
to go
this.
Anywhere.
Exactly.
Running around.
How are you?
Doing good. Gosh, what have I been doing? I just came out of quarantine and beginning of the month because my son had COVID. So I was sitting around for 20 days doing not much of anything.
But he's doing good.
He had, thank God, very mild case.
Thank God. Yes. Okay, good.
He had a mild case, really mild flu, bad cold kind of thing. So, but he was, after about a week, he was basically just kind of the remnants of the virus, you know, the cough and the nose congestion. But he only felt really sick for a day, two days. Yes. Okay. So that was good. That was good. Comparing, you know, to what I hear from many other people and, you know, obviously all the deaths, it was good that, but you know, he's a teenager, he's 17. So he had, I think, youth on his side as well. So there's that, but we didn't get it. Thank God either. And I was the one in there, like I quarantined him as soon as he said he felt sick. And then I was the one feeding him, you know, in his room and stuff. And I didn't get it. And I got tested. We all got tested about a week after he had it just in case, but we were all negative. And then we rode out the rest of the quarantine and yeah. So that was that.
Well, good.
So, well, girlfriend, you know,
I'm ready.
I know. I'm here thinking of, you know, Lent is actually like, well, we're recording here in mid-February, but this will come out the beginning of March. So as we're recording tomorrow, it's a Tuesday. Tomorrow is actually Ash Wednesday.
Yes.
And so thus starts the season of Lent. And then, you know, which will culminate in what in some traditions is called Holy Week and you know, all those things. But I was actually thinking, I'm not sure if you have followed in your lifetime an apologist called Rabbi Zacharias.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He just passed. I was
Exactly. And so, and I don't know if you've heard recently what came out to light and, yes.
What?
Well, we'll be discussing this because I want to add it to Lent and Jesus. So
I just looked it up while you said it.
Yes. And so he was accused of raping a woman and being sexually inappropriate with many others. And, you know, at first I was like, no, you know, because he just seems like such a gentle, kind, you know, person. And I'm sure that was part of who he was, but it just devastates me when people in spiritual leadership abuse that and then give Christianity such a bad name.
Yeah.
And he had been accused, there were rumors and stuff. So this wasn't like, it just came out now, but nobody believed or chose not to believe the victims. And so, you know, why do I bring it up? I bring it up, number one, because I think it's important for those that follow, you know, on this platform to know where I stand. And not in everything. I don't know that I care for everything, but when it comes to these things, you know, I feel deeply for the victims and I am so sorry. And I also feel deeply for his family got left behind with this mess to deal with because he's not around. But I bring it up because, you know, we're here. Many people are preparing for, you know, the celebration of Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection, and what it means for Jesus to have died for all of our sins, right? And I don't want to sit here and talk about him, meaning Robbie, and what he did per se. But I do want to talk about the, those that are here now and still living. And, you know, how do we as humans are better? How do we keep the gift of who Jesus was at the forefront so that we ourselves confess our sins and don't get entangled? And then if we are, you know, exposed, that we actually confess and are able to repent and make reparations when necessary. Also, can we be the kind of people that are safe people to confess? It's not going to save us from the consequences of our sin, but we need to be a people that people can come to so that we can confess and then walk alongside, you know, people so that they do deal with their consequences. But the shame or, you know, in some instances of, because we Christians can be so brutal, you know, and I think it keeps a lot of people from, especially with social media, from people from confessing and wanting to repent. And, you know, I know it's, it is a cop-out and excuse up to a certain point, but I think we can do better in not being so judgmental, towards, you know, sin in general. So, you know, that tricky balance, because it's tricky. It's not very black and white either. Anyway, so that's kind of where my heart is at. So you asked, and there you go.
Girl, you, yes. Look, yes.
I'm all over the place. And, you know, it's just, anyway, I don't know. It's one of these that I know what I want. I don't know if I'm making any sense. I don't even know if what I'm saying is necessarily even helpful. It's just, or me just being hopeful. But I don't know, Jesus and his death and his sacrifice for our sins. It has to be the anchor for us to live more Christ-like. And it seems like a lot of leaders are, they're falling left and right. I hear of mega churches and scandals and different things, and, you know, they're in the limelight. And it's just like, this isn't, you know, how it's supposed to be. But,
well,
you know.
Okay, so let me say this. I would have to say this is the way it's supposed to be.
Keep going.
Now, yes, I will. I just wanted to
go ahead, sister.
I just wanted to take that pause. And let me tell you why. Because Luke 8:17 says, "For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open." So I don't know if the church, and what, you know, again, when I say church, I mean the global body, the body, understood what 2020 for us was and would be. And it was going to be, it was a time of exposure in every arena, right? Politically, economically, socially, mentally, physically, but spiritually. And God said, is one of our teachers in the ministries that we plant said this the other day. God's name is jealous. He said, "I'm a jealous God. I will have no other gods before me," right? Mm-hmm. It's in the commandments to have no other God before him. But that everything that, right, there's nothing hidden that won't be disclosed. And in this time we're in, even in now that we're into 2021, God is exposing and revealing. God is bringing to light those things that have been hidden in the dark. And it is what is supposed to happen. It's supposed to, right? And for so long, we have allowed things to be hidden that needed to be exposed. Unfortunately, when we look at it from our lens, we dislike the fact that it taints Christianity as a whole. But it should also then cause those of us who do know what is right, those of us who are leading and daily seeking to live biblical lives, to then be those in Matthew 5 and 6, right, where it says that we are to be the salt of the earth, but we're to shine. That I think not only have the secrets and the evil been hidden, we've been hiding as well and not allowing ourselves to be light and shine in this world like we're supposed to. So as much as it hurts, because it does hurt to continue to see, you know, leaders falling. There are big leaders that have been exposed this year that I've actually talked with. And the thing has been, and I've said it, I don't know why you thought it would never come to light, right? God has given so many opportunities for us to make wrongs right, to do the right thing. And there has been, sis, a whole bunch of people behind it, right? Because if I hide my sin and I don't tell your sin, then you won't tell my sin. You know what I'm saying?
A vicious circle,
right? So, and we've seen it. This isn't just the first time. We've seen it. What was the gentleman in Denver who had one of these huge ministry, and they did a documentary on him, but he used to preach vehemently against homosexuality, and yet he was partaking in homosexual activity. Oh. Right. And I mean, he was a national speaker, literally, was going off and was going for evangelical Christians, into the White House and all these different things. And then was exposed. Right. Ted Haggard. I knew that was his name. Ted Haggard. And so all this happened in the early 2000s. But everyone was following him at a time. I mean, he was our bigger kind of, our mega church, right? Mm-hmm. Speakers now. But the whole time he was struggling. And when I watched his documentary, let me tell you what broke my heart. In his documentary, he said, I had went to several, fellow leaders, several people in ministry and had confessed. And guess what they told him to do? Just preach through it. Huh?
Instead of stepping down and, yeah.
And get the right uh-huh. step down, go to get the help, be healed, the inner work, right? Just keep going. And so he did, but it didn't mean, right, that the things that he was dealing with, the different, actions that he just stopped those. Right? So a person can preach through and still live in sin.
Yeah.
Because, we have all gone to a service, heard the word, and then walked out and done the opposite. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but we have to now be able to hold each other accountable. We can no longer, right? When someone comes with a painful truth, someone who's saying, I'm living in sin, it says that we're to restore one another. And so often we have met others in the body with shame and condemnation. And so people are afraid, right, to say or to get the help before they ever commit an egregious sin or an egregious harm to another person, and then there are those who have been harmed. They're afraid to speak because we have watched denominations literally cover up evil.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as it hurts, it has to come to the light, because how do we become the bride he's coming back for if the bride is hiding, if the bride is not willing to expose what is not Christ like in nature, in action, in word, and in deed. So I didn't hear about this, but this breaks my heart, because this man was a profound teacher of the word, right? But yeah. you can be a student of the word and still have, right? That's why Romans 7 will always, I think until the day I die, will be one of my favorite portions of scripture, because that whole chapter Paul talks about the wrestle, this war raging in us to do good, right? And sin is always present. You right? When I try to do good, sin is always present. And what I love about it is that he was not Saul when he wrote this. He was fully Paul, fully an apostle, fully preaching the word, and showed us that there will always be this war. Yet the Spirit of God living in us is greater than the flesh. And we have to continue to beat our flesh into submission, continue to lay, right? He says, lay down every sin and weight, right? It's not just sin. Sometimes there are weights that we never lay down, burdens and traumas that we just never heal from. And God says that he, right, to lay down, to cast every care before, because he watchfully cares after us, to take on his burden, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Right? To cast, to not carry these weights, but to bring it all to him. And it, I, you know, as I'm looking at it, this, that's a weight. We don't know what happened to him, right? We don't know the things that maybe he went through. Does not condone the sinful act. But let's say he was able to ever have dealt with whatever that weight was. Do you know what I'm saying? That he could have been honest before the act.
Yep.
Instead of,
yeah, because you don't generally wake up one day and decide to rape somebody. I don't know. Something amounted to that, right? Exactly.
Right. There are those who are just, they're ravished with evil. Mm-hmm. But how do you have carried the weight of the word and it, what was in your members, right? We sometimes don't know why someone so needs the word the way they do. We have called people, oh, that's too extreme, but we don't know what they went through that makes them say, this is, I've got to hold on to this with dear life. This is all I got. This is what is keeping me from doing this. This is what is keeping me from saying this. This is my lifeline. And so I think more than ever, the church has to, we have seen so many pastors take their own lives
I know.
In the last 2 years.
That's been heartbreaking as well. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we're just so wanting them to be, we've made them celebrities mm-hmm. when they didn't need to be. We have put on expectations that are not biblical. We have not paid attention to their needs, you know, and we are watching, we are seeing the depths of what it means when we ignore, when we turn a blind eye.
Yeah, I do want to clarify earlier when I said it wasn't supposed to be. I agree with you, like what you've said on, but what I meant by that was the celebrity part. Like it's just, this isn't supposed to be. Now it is what it is. It's the reality. You know, it's the reality. And this, you know, humans have a propensity to put others on pedestals. That I was speaking to that part of, because you just mentioned now about the whole celebrity thing. And it is acting as if these leaders of ours are somehow like immune to sin or something, you know?
Yeah.
And then we put them in this pedestal and then, you know, we're like so... I mean, we should be devastated over sin. So it's not that, but we're devastated. But I think we're more so devastated. Not the first impact is what I created, the image I created of this person has been broken first. I think it's that devastation. And then comes, you know, the sin part of just like, I was not surprised. I was just heartbroken. I was just like, the ramifications are.
They're wide and they're far.
But it wasn't like, oh my gosh, not him. At this point, because of just history and human, I am just not surprised anymore. I feel very sad that things have to get to that point and people aren't in this position of helping each other be accountable. And I do know that, you know, when you're in leadership, there are certain things that I think you are wise to implement to keep you safe, as a safeguard to keep you from being put on a pedestal. And, you know, I think your accountability group should be even bigger, you know, and keep those sins and relationships really, you know, confessed and that openness of vulnerability and stuff as well. But they're not, you know, I guess we think that because they've studied or study the Bible and sermon that they have some extra protection. I don't know about all that, but I mean, you may know more scriptures, but if you're not going to apply them, then it doesn't really matter. Anyway, so that's where I'm at. But I'm looking forward to hearing, because I know you really wanted to talk about just getting prepared for, you know, Holy Week.
Did I?
Yeah, you did. You were all excited about
it. You keep saying that. Yes, but I want to be. Yeah. Look, Jessica brought it up and I agreed.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know.
Excitement, I was just
I'm kidding. No, I am. No, but when I read that in the text last night, I was like, is this my fault? Did I? Wait. She's making this seem like, wait a minute now. Let me revisit this conversation. I was cracking up. That's why I was like, did I? Was I? No, but let me tell you. There is an excitement, and let me tell you why, because I think that we have such an opportunity to reframe Lent for the listeners. Mm-hmm. Because Lent has been, you know, for many years, attached only to Catholicism. When I grew up, I went to Catholic school from first grade to 10th grade. And it is the only reason I know Lent, even though my mother and I went to a Baptist denomination on Sundays. They didn't talk about Lent. So the beauty of Lent was introduced to me through Catholicism, but it is not, Catholicism does not own Lent. Mm-hmm. And I think that for a long time in more non-denominational or more, you know, yeah, charismatic settings, Lent is just ignored. Lent doesn't, you know, even, you know, really exist. And it is the period of 40 days, which comes right before Easter, right? It starts, like you said, tomorrow with Ash Wednesday. And then Lent, what Lent is, it's a reflection and time of preparation before we celebrate, which many call Easter, but my Bible doesn't call it Easter. So what?
Yeah, I listen. Would say,
right? Resurrection Sunday. Yeah. Really? Right? It's the resurrection of Christ, right? But we people say Easter. I don't say Easter. But Lent is a time of reflection and preparation, you know, as we come into, right, this time of resurrection, and it's 40 days, right? And so in Catholicism, it's to replicate Jesus Christ's sacrifice and then his withdrawal into the desert, right? So this 40 days that, you know, after Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist and God announces him as his beloved son in whom he's well pleased, it says then that the Spirit led him into the wilderness for 40 days. And so Lent is marked by a time of fasting, whether from food and activities. But even if you, right, if we took the fasting part, the reflection is really what all of us should do, right? I think that we, in more charismatic settings, have reduced reflection to just the act of communion. And in some settings, you only do that once a month, depending on the you know, denomination you're attached to. But we all should set time aside in our lives. And I think that Lent is such a beautiful time, a beautiful expression that is beyond any denomination. You know, if you look at the different significances of 40 days in the Bible, the flood after Noah built the ark, the flood lasted 40 mm-hmm. days, 40 nights. The Hebrews spent 40 years in the wilderness. Moses fasted for 40 days before he received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And then Jesus, right, we just talked about, spent those 40 days fasting mm-hmm. in the wilderness in preparation for his ministry. And so there is, you know, significance, but I think we have an opportunity to create this moment where we kind of transform our thinking from denomination to devotion.
Mm. Are you there? Oh, okay.
Uh-huh, I was done.
No, that's
fine. You said
no. I'm like, I didn't know if you were done or not. And I'm like, no, I don't want to lose you. No.
From denomination to devotion, because I think so often things that are Bible, that are biblical, we won't do because it's attached to a denomination we don't believe.
Yeah,
it is like
I hear
guys,
you. Yeah.
Stop it.
I grew up. Stop it. I went to a Catholic church just with neighbors on my own. Mm-hmm. We weren't very religious at my house. Not atheist, but, you know, my mom didn't go to church, didn't do anything. And I don't know, I just started going with my neighbors to church on Sundays. And I'm very well versed in Lent. Well, you know, we call it Cuaresma, which is mm-hmm. has to do with 40 as well. So that season of, you know, no, on Fridays, you were only allowed to eat fish, no, you know, red, no meats. mm-hmm. And that for me didn't do a whole lot. Even now, as I think about mm-hmm. it, the whole, you know, Lent part of it. But I do remember mm-hmm. Being very, very attached to Holy yeah. Week and the different activities that were done. I really, right. I don't know if the word is say is enjoyed because, but right. you know, what word would I use? It just fed me. I really felt a connection with the different activities of Holy Week. And So then, you know, I moved to the States. I didn't go to church for a long time. And then, you know, started going to an evangelical church and decided to get baptized through that and, you know, all that thing, jazz. But whenever, you know, Holy Week came around, I missed that dearly, you know, and it was talked about mm-hmm. and it was preaching. It was fine, but it was just, I missed mm-hmm. those set rituals every year. There was something mm-hmm. for me that was very mm-hmm. sacred. The other thing that I was shocked about coming here was the whole Easter thing. We didn't eat Easter bunnies and egg hunts and all that stuff to me yeah. was just like, what are you guys doing? So that yeah. was really odd to me, you know, growing up in Puerto Rico. And the other thing too, is that, we didn't work. Like in Puerto Rico, the whole island was shut down on Good Friday.
Right.
Everybody.
Right.
Like, and so I move here yeah. and, Easter's around the corner. Oh, you know, Holy Week, whatever you want to call it, is around the corner. And,
right.
And then I was looking forward to having off. And that year I worked on a Friday. I felt like, oh my gosh, what a heathen. I was just so devastated. So I actually, after that, every year in January, I would ask off on Fridays. I had to take a vacation day from my job to do that, because that to me felt like such a sacrilege. Like, what are you guys? Oh my gosh, I can't believe this. So, you know, there's a cultural thing plus then the religious aspect of it. As far as, you know, you were talking about communion, I am currently part the church that I would say became a Christian in. And, you know, there's debates about that. I'll just leave it at that. I'm not going to argue over those things. It's just not something. But we did communion every week. And it was yeah, how they did that yeah. was you would have different people volunteer. And at communion time, you would actually have a little communion message. And that person or people would share what Christ has, like they saw Christ working in them. And they would do that. So it was mm-hmm. a little mini sermon within, you know, the whole sermon. And then we would have communion together. So the church that I go to now, it's not so intricate or whatnot, but we do have communion every week as well. And I mm-hmm. really enjoy that. I really do. There's just something about yeah. that connection that, you know, because I guess that's what I grew up with and familiar with, but I do find that very holy for me. But aside from that, and this church, our pastor does do Ash Wednesday. Well, other years, this year we're not, because of being online and all that stuff, we're not meeting in person. Yeah. So I guess we're doing something online about it. So I'm not sure how that's going to all work out. I mean, I'm burning wood here. I can grab some ashes and do something if I want to.
Burning wood.
Yeah, we have a wood stove. I got that tons of ashes if anybody wants to show up.
She's not going to smoke, guys. She promised.
No.
And if you do smoke, don't use those ashes.
No, this is the sacred ashes.
Those are not the right ashes for any listener who smokes. Don't use those ashes.
Ashtray.
This is not turning water into wine, okay?
Oh my gosh, you're making my abs hurt.
Well, you said you was going to go out and burn some firewood. So I just want to be clear. For those who be like, oh, well, I have ashtray ash. I just want them not to put the ashtray ash. I don't want you to put the medicinal ash. I don't want you to put none of those ashes on your forehead. Because my friend just said she gonna burn somewhere. So we just gotta be clear here, okay? I don't want anybody calling you and talk about, well, I used ashtray ash and I didn't feel holy. I don't want nobody to do
that. The nicotine counteracted everything.
It did not work. I got a rash on my forehead.
Oh. Another.
I'm sorry. She's going to boot me off this show. I think this is my last day on this show. I'm sorry.
I hope you guys all enjoyed her while she was on.
Right, exactly.
But there is part of me as well when I think when I think of, you know, Holy Week, and you know, it was very somber in the Catholic, you know, church when I went.
Mm-hmm. Girl,
and I'm just
yes.
like, so I get that at a certain point, you know, he did die for us. But I also yeah. feel like it would have been such a we did celebrate big on Sunday, so that's fine. But it just seemed like the somberness was a lot more than the celebration to me. And so now mm-hmm. I think, you know, how do we hold both hand in hand in the sacredness of both. Because he doesn't die every year. That was done, you know, it's over and we get to,
get to
celebrate and, you know, have such deep gratitude for what that means. And, you know, so that's kind of where I'm at right now when it comes to Holy Week and honoring, you know, his sacrifice and the miracle of his resurrection, while still remembering and holding it as it's the joy, you know, I see it as joyous as Christmas. It's like, that's a gift right there. kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't done anything different or, you know, started my own little traditions around it or anything, but that's kind of where I'm at when it comes to Holy Week and Good Friday and all that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a time of repentance. So, you know, the word Lent means lengthening of days, or to the lengthen of time, but it is surrounding a time of repentance, not to, you know, I think that, like you said, I remember, you know, being in Catholic school and it definitely felt very somber. Right. And you know, in certain places, people have felt a lot of shame around it because I think, unfortunately, we can interchange repentance and shame, but they're not the same.
Yeah, no.
At all. And where repentance is a, you know, a turning away from the act of, you know, sin that we're committing and making a determination to not. And so, you know, where in school it felt very somber, repentance and shame are not the same thing. Where repentance is, right, the act of turning from a sin you're committing and deciding and dedicating that you will not return to it. Shame is brought on, you know, by the enemy, and shame is where we are held bound by a sin or an act we've committed. And so this time of Lent and this time of repentance is to then, you know, reflect on what Christ has done, to then reflect on where we are, and to, you know, as he exchanged his life, as he bore on our sins, as he died for our sins, to then be resurrected to give us eternal life. It is then to, you know, immerse our lives in the reflection, in the image, in the example of Christ. And then, you know, in that reflection, what are the things that I can no longer take forward in my relationship and my dedication and devotion to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but not to be shamed. And I think sometimes the somberness or sometimes the, you know, the pointing fingers of sin can make someone feel shame where they don't even have shame or ashamed of things that were done to them, not things they did.
You know, I know that the Bible uses the word shame, at least in some of the translations I've read. And I've always thought about that, but I don't know if it's one of these lost in translation words, if it's a literal thing. But when I think of, you know, shame is, as we study at Nile and psychology and whatnot, it has to do with just this, of thinking that this is just who you are, and because of that, there's no way that you can change, and that's not true in Christ. Right. And so, you know, I think we are best served when we use then the word remorse, and, you know, feeling bad about it to a point that leads to repentance, not shame as in to keep you stuck there and hiding and still, you know, in that same just mess, whatever, you know, that is. Right. And so I get that exactly, because I remember, you know, with the life that I had at that point in life as a child and going to the, you know, Catholic, oh my gosh, I hate to talk about this because I don't want to start bashing the Catholic Church.
We're not.
Good things, yeah, that came from it. And it's not, I'm not doing that. In my experience, it kept me in that kind of just like shame and guilt, and just there wasn't a transfer to the repentance and the that unconditional, well, God's unfailing love.
Yeah,
let's put it that way. And so, you know, we are expected to repent. So you know, when I say unconditional, that's kind of like you know. there is that God expects obedience and repentance. So it's not like, yeah, do whatever you want. That, you know, that can be transferred as unconditional. But so that kept me, I think, a lot of stuck in, stuck where I was at, and I'm not mm-hmm. knowing that I wasn't doomed and I didn't need to live there anymore. And God was just waiting to, for me to, you know, to come to him. I mean, I know he was there, but yeah. I didn't think he was, you know?
Yeah.
And, so, you know, that kind of, I think when I look back now, and I'm really processing this now, cause I don't think about it that often. Mm-hmm. I think Holy Week for me came, and it was just this, like, oh, thank God I actually at least have an opportunity. Like, God, Jesus did this. And, you know, at some point, maybe it'll be true for me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it comes every year. It's there, you know. It was yeah. always there.
Yeah.
But, you know, as a teenager, what did I know, you know? So, and, you know, I didn't really have any spiritual leaders along the way to help me process all of this either. So this is me trying to figure out my spiritual walk all by myself.
Yeah.
And poorly as done, but I'm glad that I still felt like I could come back to God, because mm-hmm. it didn't leave a sour taste in my mouth per se. It wasn't like I'm done with God and I don't want anything yeah. to do with any of this stuff. I think I just needed a little more knowledge to be able to put it all together and be grateful for both the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love it. And it's true. You know, I agree with what you said. People always ask me, like, oh, my gosh, you love the word. Where did that start? In Catholic school? Because you have to take religion classes. You have to actually study the word. that don't happen in other schools.
Yeah.
Just regular school. And I had a very different encounter, right, with the Catholic church. I was an altar girl. Now, I was an altar girl who stole the Eucharist, but let's talk about that another time. I might have only become an altar. I don't know. But I will tell you.
Did they serve wine? Were you drinking the wine?
No, I didn't drink the wine. This is dope. But they had grape juice. But let me tell you, I don't know why I fell in love with the Eucharist. And I would literally get there before everyone. I was like in the sixth or seventh grade. And I would be tearing up some Eucharist in the back.
That stuff tastes nasty. I mean,
no.
What did you guys serve?
Oh my God. Those, no.
That stuff was like
that. I love them. I love those round little circle Eucharist. Oh my God. I fell in love at First Communion and I couldn't stop. But like, you know, just we literally had, you know, a father that his parsonage was on our school property, you know, and Father Tom was, you know, such a great man and a generous man. But I also know that there have been fathers, you know, that have wounded many, have been many sexual indiscretions, but that's not prayerfully and gratefully, I rejoice that that is not the picture that I had. Right. But it doesn't, because of my picture, doesn't mean I don't believe that there are others.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that goes back to what we were saying in the beginning, even in this time of reflection, you know, what I've been learning and really seeing, I think for so often we have only seen things as this or that instead of this and that. Right.
Yeah.
So there was this for me and there was this for that person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It wasn't this is this and that's that. No, there was this and that in two spaces, because in humanity, you can have a this and a that, right? And it does not mean that each one, the encounter for each one then just removes everything, right? Because it's like people will say, either you believe this or you don't, right? I believe this all the way. Now here's, I believe that I had a very beautiful experience with the Catholic faith going to school. I also know that there are many who have not.
Yes.
There are many who have been injured. My experience will never say that I do not believe those who have been hurt.
We would take away just the like humanity, because humans are sinful. And I'm not
humans
saying that
simple.
To excuse it. So please, anybody.
Yeah.
These days, I feel like we have to make everything so clear.
I know.
I'm not saying that, but it's truth. It's just the reality.
Right.
So like this,
I was having a conversation with my gossip the other day. And here's the thing. I have a biblical view about everything. And that's the only view I stand on. It, but here's what I also know, because here's what I think we forget. Christians will hate, and I'm using it because we will be strong with it.
Mm-hmm.
We will hate a people group, right? We will mm-hmm. do this, and we will negate that God said that he died for the world. Right?
Mm-hmm.
For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. God loved the world, not only those who are saved, only those that believe in him. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. Right?
Yeah. So, and then Jesus told us to go and take the word to all nations.
All nations, right? Right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But what we will do is we will spew a hate toward a people that God loves. Right? The sin, and sin is sin is sin is sin. And we've also tried to categorize sin to shame people, right? And to disgrace people and to bind people. And it is not. I'm just going to say, like, if there's someone I do not believe in murder, right? Because mm-hmm. I think murder is wrong. Okay. What I do not believe is that a murderer will never be able to have redemption. Because guess what? There were two thieves on the cross with Jesus. Right. Right. There is redemption. But guess what? You also have there are consequences and payment for things we do.
Yep.
Yeah, so absolutely. A man who has committed murder, does that mean that he should not go to jail, that all this should just be right, that he has no consequence? But it also does not mean that he cannot have an encounter with God, that he is only this forever. He may be in prison forever, but God has the opportunity to change his soul, to redeem him from evil, and bring him into fellowship and partnership with him.
Well, you know,
so many things that we just kind of go, it's this or it's that.
Well, I'm thinking of, you know, sin, because generally we go with what? The sexual sins?
Yeah.
And like murder always, or, you know, exactly. are the big ones. But I'm sitting here thinking, let's talk about gossip for a minute.
I was just going to say gossip.
We're just like, we gossip, we say whatever, you know, but when things, especially if they're false or, you know, or even if they're not false, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, what ends up happening is mm-hmm. that we are actually killing the character of the other person. We're not allowing them to actually be there and defend themselves.
We're murdering it doesn't matter. Them.
Yes, exactly, in a different way.
Yep.
And it ruins relationships. Yeah. And you know, if there's an issue, the Bible told us what to do about it. Mm-hmm. You go to your brother first,
go
or
to
sister,
your brother first.
And if that doesn't work, then you bring others in. And then if it needs to be a more collective thing, then you all deal with it. You know, and so there was a reason for us, Jesus gave us those words, excuse me, and, you know, tools to live in community. And so we go around, you know, putting different sins in different categories, but they all kill something. It kills a person inside. Like when you rape a woman, like you take a part of her, or a man, let me not even just say it's, you know. You know, when you murder, obviously you definitely, you know, took that person. When you gossip, you take something from that person. You know, it's mm-hmm. just, it all does internal damage. It all does. And because it, you know, like with gossip, I even think that can even like go long, you know, really long too, because then you don't trust other people perhaps.
Yeah.
And, you know, you walk around, you know, then having problems connecting with other people.
Yeah.
And then having relationship, and then, you know, that may spill in then into relationship with Jesus. Can I trust you? You know, all this other stuff. It's the ramifications are long and deep and far. And we can't go around acting like gossip is any less, you know, white little sin as opposed to a dark one, which is, you know, let's say murder or you know, rape or something.
Right.
It all destroys. And if it destroys, and the Bible, like, you know, God took time to make sure to say that in that list in Galatians of sins, mm-hmm. there's gossip in there too. I think it's in that
Absolutely.
One, in Galatians 5. It's important, you know.
It's important. Yeah. It is very important. And I think that that's why having a time where we, because I don't really know how many of us really reflect and take time to, you know, dedicate a moment to really look at ourselves, to really, you know, pause to, you know, say, God, examine me and show me these areas that are not Christ-like. The things that I ignore, the patterns of things I just do and don't really realize they are hurtful to my witness. You know, I want to, if I'm saying that I'm your hands and your feet, if I'm saying I'm living a life that, you know, aligns with the Bible, then self-examination, reflection is a consistent necessity. It's a consistent, just this last week, I taught on being in agreement, right? Like there are so many agreements that we have made with lies the enemy has told us that we have lived out as truth, yeah, that has held us captive. And the Bible says that he sets the captives free. And we don't even realize we held ourselves captive and that we need to literally renounce those lies, send them back, you know, discharge ourselves from the lies that we've believed, that we have, and that we've lived out, and they're not truth. They're not even in agreement with the word. You know, and we say all these little things, you know, well, I wasn't gossiping. I was just telling the truth. No, you were gossiping. You were gossiping. Because if it is the truth and there's something that needs to be said, why didn't you say it to the person?
Yeah. Resolve it there. Mm-hmm.
Why are you continuing to have this conversation in circles, right, with other people? Why are you, right, because you would hate it if it was happening to you. So, Lord, where are those places where I need to close my mouth? Where are those places where I need to go to my sister, my brother? What are those things that I'm still teeter-tottering on and excusing bad behavior? You know, where are these places where I need to turn from the direction I've been going in? And here's the thing. I think so often we think repentance is about big, obvious sins, right? Mm-hmm. But there's so many hidden things that if we don't ask God to reveal it, if we don't steal away, you know, if we don't go and deal with some humanity issues, some heart issues, some inner wounds, some traumas, we don't realize the lasting effects that they can be on other people. In Jesus' name. So again, if we go back to a Ravi Zacharias who was preaching in Jesus' name, he wounded, he hurt, he traumatized, he stole from somebody else in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
In front of us, we don't know, you know what I mean, what was the leading, but I'm sure, you know, many of us were enamored with his biblical knowledge.
Yeah.
And I think often we have rested on who people appear to be, but we don't know them. We don't know them.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that we're to know them that labor amongst us, right? And we don't take the time to really know, to really look, to really see, to really be a help to one another, and then complain about the world not helping or being a help and being this, and we're not doing it within ourselves. So I do think that as the world, I mean, here's the reality. If we think about the word Lent, and it means lengthening of days, we've been in Lent since March 2020, right? We have been in a state of Lent that God has said, I need you to pause and reflect. I need you to reflect and pause and repent and turn to me. I need you to come home to me. Mm-hmm. I need you to shelter in place with me, because here is your 40 days and 40 night moment where it's just you and I, and we can dig into the deep wells of your soul, your flesh, and in the spirit of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you, that the things you've prayed for, yearned for, cried out for, they're all right here waiting you to come. So I think it's a beautiful thing, a beautiful time. And my prayer is that, you know, someone who might have been hurt by the Catholic denomination, that they can remove, right, this.
The denomination from Christianity.
Right, yeah. This line, right, or this moment of reflection from the denomination and realize, right? Because here's what I do want to say. You will not find the word Lent in the Bible. So let's not, we're not going to, I want to be sure that we say that, right? Mm-hmm. Because I don't want anybody come and say, well, I went in the Bible and I didn't see Lent. No. But it is an act of devotion. It is it's an outward expression, but you will see fasting. You will see times of reflection. You will see stealing away with the Lord. You will see Jesus going into the wilderness. And it said that when he came out with power and authority. And what he came out with was the word, so that when the enemy, he had an, it is written in his mouth. And so many of us are being attacked. We're being weighed down, and we have more gossip, more idle conversation in our mouths than we do the word. And we need God. If we don't need you more than ever now, I don't know when we will, but I personally am taking this time and this season. And for me, I feel that Lent should be a lifelong pursuit. It shouldn't just be a moment. Right? That we should stay in a posture of repentance, reflection, and preparation. Because guess what? The biggest preparation is that he's coming back. And we, the bride, are to be prepared for his return. And that's my last word.
Amen. That's good. We'll be wrapping up here soon. Yeah. Well, you know, I love what you just said, because I have a tendency when people are speaking, I actually try to fit where I fit into what is being said. Mm-hmm. And examine. But I'm listening to you and I'm like, yeah, I started my Lent season in mm-hmm. the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was off of the socials for 40 days and, you know, mm-hmm. I came back and, remember we talked about, I don't know what's going to happen there, but mm-hmm. you know, we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. And so while, you know, the whole land thing is still in talks and nothing's really happened with that, you know, quite yet, I am dreaming big dreams about it. But what kept coming back was, you need to break up with this relationship you have with social media. That's what ended up coming out. And so I came back and I said to folks, listen, I'm deleting a bunch of you, nothing personal.
Yeah.
But there has been stuff on here that I don't want to ever see again from people. There have been, you know, it's like, this was something fun for me. And I delete a lot of people that actually live within driving distance from me here. And I said, you know, my post that, if you know, there's no reason for us, it gives a false sense of friendship when we know what's going on in your life because of Facebook or Instagram, but I really don't hang out with you. Like I just don't want to hold on to that kind of stuff. It's like, you want to have a friendship relationship. You got my number, call me, text me, let's hang out, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, some connections, others that I had made with, was through a group or two. And, you know, I kept those open. Whatnot, and we can continue there. And you know, because you live in another state, like it's just unrealistic for me to be plugged in all so much all over the place when we're not doing something necessarily together, you know, involved. And it was just too much. I was being stretched. I didn't realize how much I was being stretched thin so much trying to be everything for everybody. And it just didn't become, it was addictive and it wasn't enjoyable anymore. And it's been great. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
It's been great. So that was the biggest thing of just, I needed to disconnect so that I would have room for God. Cause it was just like, he was getting my extra, you know, my little, not extra. He was getting my, my fumes, you know, what was left over. And so that was really, really good. I knew I needed to do it for a long time. But it was a perfect time, you know, nothing, you know, happens, in the right timing. I was ready, and you know, like I need to stop this, I need to repent, you know. And I constantly joked about it, so it wasn't something that, you know, I didn't tell people. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm Facebook's my crack book, I would call it my crack book. But yeah, it's just been, I saw it in a whole different light, and it's just like, oh, this has just become toxic. I can't, this needs to go. So that was one of the major things, and I'm really enjoying, I started reading the Bible chronologically, so that's been good. I'm like, wow, I've already read the 3 books of the Bible, and we're in February. Yeah. This is awesome. So, you know, that's that. But anyway, I'm going through this, you saying about, you know, a season of lengthening. And I really like that, because I am lengthening and deepening through this, my relationship with God, and getting to know him better.
Yeah.
So then I can hear him, you know, more clearly in what he wants from me, because I know him and his character, and, you know, to be able to have that discernment of, is it me talking here, or are you guiding me, you know, my desires or selfish, more so desires and different things and whatnot. So just different like that. So that's been good. So
I love it.
I'm looking forward to what else God is teaching us here in this lengthening time of deep change and exposing different things mm-hmm. in this country, and you know how that trickles down to the rest of us, you know, individually.
Absolutely. Well, I love it.
Yes, me too. Well, thank you, sis, thank you. Talking about Lent, and we will probably talk about it a little bit more next one, because April is when Holy Week, and we can maybe dig in a little bit more there.
Absolutely.
So you have a good one, and as usual, it's a pleasure to speak with you.
It's a pleasure to speak with you. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.